the copyrighted program created by Rio Grande.
Los Angeles Police calling all cars. Attention all cars. Broadcast 173 regarding a hit and run. Be on the lookout for a red Ford truck thought to be the machine involved. May have a smashed front end from the impact. Driven by one man. That's all. Rosenquist.
As a result of the 50 million mile test given Rio Grande cracked gasoline by your police cars and other emergency equipment, thousands of new motorists are now enjoying the thrill of police car performance. Here is a typical Rio Grande service station conversation.
Well, I heard you calling all cars broadcast the other night, and here I am.
Well, that's good. Glad you enjoyed it.
Oh, that isn't what I mean. Oh, I'm grateful, of course, for the entertainment, but what I really want is some of that police car performance in my car.
Well, that's still better. May I fill her up?
Oh, about 10 gallons. That won't make a 50 million mile test, but it ought to mean something.
You'll certainly be able to tell the difference.
You know, that 50 million mile test by police cars is the most convincing statement I've ever heard about gasoline. That's the reason I came in here. Oh, I've been hearing about gasoline claims for years, but 50 million miles of actual driving by police cars, that sounds convincing.
And it is convincing. Police officers drive harder, faster, and under more varying conditions than any other group of motorists. And so it means more when police officers overwhelmingly choose Rio Grande cracked gasoline. This gasoline powers more police cars, fire engines, ambulances, and other emergency equipment wherever it is sold than any other brand. It gives them, and it will give you, police car performance. Once again, we present Chief James E. Davis of the Los Angeles Police Department. Chief Davis.
Good evening, friends. Tonight, we are varying the type of story usually heard on Calling All Cars to bring you something close to the hearts of everyone. The appalling death list that is already climbing to new highs in the early months of the new year makes it apparent to every one of us that something has to be done to curb the useless loss of life caused by automobiles on our streets and highways. We of the police department have done everything in our power to bring to the minds of the motorists the seriousness of this problem. And now, through the medium of the radio, we are appealing to you as individuals to stop and think before you drive. To stop and think of what it would mean to you were something to happen to one of your loved ones. To realize that the time to do something about it is now, before it is too late, and not tomorrow when it may be. Naturally, all traffic fatalities are not caused by hit-and-run drivers. But we have chosen this type of story tonight because we feel it may bring a little closer to home the fact that the police department is active every second of the day and night in its endeavor to stop this mass killing, and because we feel that you, the listeners, may gain some small idea of the seriousness of the situation. Remember, think before you drive. Anticipate an emergency before it happens. And the chances are that when it comes, you will be able to avoid it.
Warm July evening. 50-year-old Mary Combs and her swain for the evening, Robert Simo, 43, decide to finish off an evening spent at the neighborhood theater in a fashion befitting the occasion.
Well, now that we've done the theater, Mrs. Combs, what would you say to a final touch? Something along the lines of perhaps an ice cream soda?
Oh, why?
With a large topping of whipped cream.
Oh, I think that would be perfect, Mr. Seymour. I declare, I don't think I've enjoyed an evening as much as this in years. Oh, many years.
Good. In that case, maybe we can do it again. After all, I'm pretty lonely sometimes. And it isn't every day I get a chance to take a young lady to the theater.
Mr. Seymour.
Well, we won't find any sodas by standing here. That's certain. May I offer you my arm, Mrs. Combs?
You may. And where are we going to find this wonderful soda with whipped cream on it?
That's a surprise. Something I shan't tell you until we get there.
Oh.
A little place of my own discovering down on the other side of the freeway.
And I can't ask anything about it?
Well, you can't. All you may do is to walk with me across the street and guess.
Well, then shall we start?
We shall. Come along. And hold on tight to my arm crossing the street.
Pictures like that make me feel all sort of funny inside. Like I want to cry. Only I want to laugh, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, did you notice that old couple in front of us in the show, Roy? The way they kept kind of looking at each other?
Yeah. That's them over by the corner.
Well, I think maybe they must be in love, too, Roy. Just like you and me. Only maybe a little different.
Oh, they're too old. They don't know anything about love like we do.
Gee, look at them, arm in arm, like a couple of sweethearts. Just like they were in old Roy. Gosh, it makes me feel all sort of sad inside.
Yeah.
They're going to cross the street at the corner. Look, Ray, they're laughing. Gosh, that'll make you feel funny, too.
Yeah, only...
Only what, Roy?
Nothing. I was only thinking that... Well, you've been talking about them all the time, and I thought maybe you'd be thinking about me.
Oh, Roy, I am thinking about you, honest, all the time. Oh, it's just that I can't help watching those two and thinking how happy they are. Like a couple of... Roy!
Huh?
Look, that truck! It's going to run into them! It's on my corner!
Hey,
gosh! Oh, dear, they're right on
it. It doesn't even want to stop. Hey, you and that truck, you hit somebody.
What are we going to do?
Yeah, I guess maybe we'd better call the police. There's people going over there to help.
Don't go over there, Roy. I couldn't stand to see them. They look so happy.
Oh, it's all right, honey. Come on, we're going to call the police. Honey, you've got to stop crying, honey. You've got to.
I saw it happen, the whole thing. Lord. It was awful.
Who am I there? That's all I could see.
Yeah, they got him in the ambulance there.
Looked like it was too late for an ambulance from what I saw.
Yeah, at least the woman. She was busted to pieces. Must have been hit by the radiator.
All right. Doctor, you better get him to Georgia. I'll see what I can get here.
Okay, Eddie. Come on, Eddie. Wind her
up. All right, come on, you people. Clear away. Let the ambulance get out. Come on. Break it up. Break it up. Break it up.
Are they still dead, officer?
Oh, the man's still alive.
Oh, gosh, that's awful. I seen the whole thing, you know.
You did?
Yeah, I was right over here when it happened. Seen the whole doggone thing.
Hey, Compton, you better keep these people off the street. I'm going to talk to any witnesses I can find.
Yes, sir. All right, you people, come on off the street before somebody...
All right, now, suppose you tell me what you saw.
Well, like I said, I was standing over here on the corner, and I see this couple start out from the other side, like they was coming over here, see?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, this big red truck comes tearing out of the darkness and smacks him, just like that.
You saw the truck?
Yeah, sure I seen it, all right. Like I said... It was red, and it had a sign painted on the side.
You didn't happen to notice what the sign said, did you?
Sure did. Plain as day it was. Right there in front of me. Baker's Pies, It said. Just like that, Baker's Pies.
Well, that's going to help. Now, what happened after the truck hit him? Did it stop at all?
Yeah, it sort of pulled up at the next corner there, and we... Well, that is a couple of other people who saw it happen to me. We started after it, and as soon as he saw us coming... He popped back in and drove on.
You couldn't catch the license number by any chance?
No, sir. That was the one thing I couldn't do. It was too dark.
Hello, Ogletree.
Oh, hello, Lieutenant.
Cawthorn and I got a call about a hit and run. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Where are the victims?
Over to the receiving hospital by now. The boy just left.
They're both dead?
Well, the woman is. Can't tell about the man. She was hurled about 80 feet. He was 10 feet beyond that. Can't be in very good shape after that.
No, I wouldn't say so. Well...
This fellow says that the truck that hit him was red. Had a sign, Baker's Pies, on the side.
Baker's Pies?
Yeah.
Well, I know where that outfit is. You sure of that?
Yes, sir. Two or three of us all saw the same thing. Couldn't miss it.
What do you say we go over there, Hurst, and see if we can locate this fellow?
Sounds like the logical move. We'll check with you later, Ogletree, for the names and so forth, the witnesses. Get them all with
you. Right.
Come on, Ted, the bakery.
Speeding across town, Hurst and Cawthorn lose no time in getting to Baker's Bakery. And once there, a phone call rouses A.L. Baker, owner of the place at his home, brings him to the office. Where he answers the officer's questions.
gives them all possible assistance.
And it's going to be quite a job, I'm afraid, Lieutenant. You see, I have 25 trucks.
25? That means that while we waste time checking them, the one we want may be on his way out of town.
Well, there's one thing that might help, though. You see, each driver owns his own car, and they aren't all the same make. Yes, and also some of them are in Riverside and others in Long Beach. That'll narrow the field down some.
Yeah, some. It'll still leave plenty of them to run down and question, though.
Well, here's a list of cars and drivers. We'll go over this together and eliminate all those that couldn't have done it. After that, I guess it's up to you gentlemen to finish the job.
I think you're right, Mr. Baker. So before the night gets completely away from us, suppose we begin.
All right. Well, now, let's see. Here's one who couldn't have done it.
All right, check him off.
And here's another. He's in Riverside.
I checked.
Webb, I see he's in Long Beach tonight.
So patiently, hour after hour, the three men go over the list of known drivers, eliminate one after the other, narrow the search down to a handful of the original 25. And this completed, they make a minute inspection of the trucks in the garage, find no evidence that would link them with the fatal accident. Their mission at the pie bakery finished, Hurst and Cawthorn begin the tedious job of checking the names on the list, questioning suspects. The first address leads them to a place on Virgil Street where two of the drivers, George Walter and Harry Ballin, live. And as they approach the house, sounds of music indicate a party to be underway.
Sounds hot.
Yeah, too hot for the home of a guy that just killed someone.
I don't know about that. People are funny things, Ted. You ought to know. Shall we ring, knock, or just walk in?
Yeah, let's knock.
Shoot. George Ward and Harry Ballin. They live in? They live here? Are they
well,
in?
Well, we're officers, ma'am. We want to ask him a few questions.
Oh, well, they're not here now.
Not here?
No.
You mean they're running out on their own party?
Well, Harry's here, but George isn't.
Well, we'll talk to Harry then.
Well, listen, I'll get him to come on outside and talk to you. I don't want no police putting the sour apple on my party. Hey, Harry.
Yeah?
Come here a minute, will you?
Sure thing. Why not? What's on your mind?
Say, listen, Harry. These cops want to talk to you about something. Take them outside and do it, will you?
Well, I don't know what they want to talk to me about, but... Okay, what can I lose?
Harry, have you a red Ford truck?
Yeah, what about it?
Did you drive it tonight?
Not after I was through working. It's out in the garage.
Let's take a look at it, huh?
For why?
Because somebody driving a red Ford truck killed a woman in a hit-and-run crash earlier this evening. And he hit a man, too. By this time, he's probably dead.
Well, I've been here all evening.
I still want to look at your truck.
Okay, come on around to the garage. Now, I'll get the lights. There you are.
Yeah, it's red all right.
Yeah.
It has the sign on the side. Come on, Ted, let's check the front end and motor.
Okay.
She's been here all evening.
Glass is all here. Yep, radiator cool.
No signs of any crash here.
Nope. Well, I guess I'll let you out, Harry. Now, how about your friend Walter? Where's he?
Well, he took his truck out to the Checker Cafe in Culver City. He owned some interest in the place, and he had to do some work there tonight.
Well, I guess we'll have to take a tour out there. If he comes back here, that is, if we miss him out there, tell him to get in touch with us right away, will you? And tell him it's important.
A short time later, Hurst and Cawthorn pulled to a stop in front of the Checker Cafe in Culver City. In spite of the lateness of the hour, a light inside indicates that someone is still about. Entering, they find a waiter on duty.
Hey, is George Walter here?
George? Yeah, he's back in the kitchen washing dishes. You want us to call him?
No, don't bother. We'll go back and see him. Come on, Ted. You George Walters?
Yeah, that's right. So what?
So I ask if your name was Walters, that's all.
Well, you got an answer, didn't you? I'm getting sick of this place. Nothing but trouble all night long. My dishwasher walks out on me, and I got to do the dirty work. And a lot of other things, and then you start popping questions at me.
Now, look, buddy, take it easy, will you? I didn't have anything to do with your dishwasher walking out on you. We just want to know a few things. You drive a red Ford truck?
Right.
For the Baker Pie Company, is that right?
Right again.
Well, we want to see it.
Well, that's tough, on account of it isn't around here.
Yeah? Where is it?
Well, I loaned it to a guy tonight.
Who?
His name's Paul, if it makes any difference.
It might. You see, Walter, your truck ran down and killed a woman tonight and then drove off.
Huh?
Naturally, if you weren't driving it, your friend Paul must have been.
What?
Yeah, that's right, Walter.
Well, I gave him the truck about 8:30 to drive to the brewery for some beer for a party I was having.
And you haven't heard from him since?
Why, no, of course not.
Why, of course not?
Well, I mean, I haven't seen him since, that's all.
Say, what's this Paul's last name?
I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you, Walter. We're going out and find this Paul fella. But just in case he comes in here with that truck, telephone us right away. Understand?
Yeah, I understand, all right. If he comes back, I'll be here washing dishes.
Not entirely satisfied with Walter's story, yet anxious to run down every lead, Hurst and Cawthorne stop at the Culver City Police Station and tell Sergeant C.J. Trushell to be on the lookout for the truck as well as the mysterious Paul. Then decide to inspect the scene of the crash once more. Accordingly, they drive there, look around for clues.
Well, probably nothing we can get here, but it won't hurt to look around now that the mob has left.
Nope.
Now, here's glass all over the street here. Might take a piece in case we find the truck so we can match it.
Yeah. Now, here's it, Hunk. Hey.
What's the matter?
I figured this was glass from the windshield, didn't you?
Sure.
Well, it isn't.
Huh? Hey, let me look.
Yeah, here.
My golly, you're right, Ted. This glass is from a bottle or several of them.
That's what I'd say.
And in that case, maybe we're not going to be able to identify the truck so easy at that. Matter of fact, maybe one of the trucks over at the garage that we looked at was the one. We were looking for one with a busted windshield.
Yeah.
And that puts a slightly different complexion on things. Hey, what do you say we take a run back to the Checker Cafe and see Walter? His friend Paul might be back. And anyway, I'm not so sure I believe everything you told us tonight. I'd like to talk to him some more.
But as they approach the vicinity of the Checker Cafe, Cawthorne suddenly grabs Hurst's arm, points to an object down the street a little ways.
Larry, look. Up ahead of us there.
Looks like a truck.
Yeah, it is a truck. And it's painted red.
Oh, it couldn't be that we found our pie truck.
Pull up alongside here and we'll look at it. Baker's Pies.
That's the baby, all right.
Yeah.
And Ted, take a look at that front fender, all crumpled up.
Look, Larry, this truck's only been here a little while. Well, the motor's still warm. I'll bet a dollar to a rotten donut we'll find this Paul fella at the Checker Cafe. That or else.
Yeah, I see what you mean. Come on, we're going back to Walter. Well, Walter, how are you doing with the dish situation?
Huh? Oh, it's you again.
Yeah. Your friend Paul come back yet?
Not a sign of him.
We found your truck, Walter.
What? Where was it?
A couple of blocks from here. It's been in a wreck, Walter.
Then that's the reason that guy never come back. Probably afraid to tell me he busted my truck up.
Now, look, Walter, do you really expect us to believe all that?
All what?
All that stuff about Paul and he's taking your truck. As a matter of fact, you're just trying to cover yourself up. Isn't that right, Walter?
No.
Sounds funny finding the truck so close to where you are, and yet you say you didn't have anything to do with it.
Now, look here, fellas. Listen, I've been telling you the truth. There is a Paul. He just lives a little ways from here.
You know where, exactly?
Yeah, and I'll take you there. I'm not going to get mixed up in something I didn't have nothing to do with. If Paul busted into somebody, he can take the rap for it, not me.
What do you think, Ted?
Well, I think this fellow's giving us a runaround.
Yeah.
He's the one who was driving that truck home.
No, now listen, fellas, please. You can't railroad me for a thing like this. I'm on the up and up. Honest, I am.
You were pretty tough tonight when we wanted to ask you some questions.
I know. You see, it's a kind of a bad habit of mine, maybe, but it doesn't have anything to do with this. I've been here all evening. And this guy I'm telling you about took the truck to the brewery for some beer. Well, maybe he did run over someone on the way. I don't know anything about that. But that's no reason I should get hauled up on it. Come on, now, let me show you where he lives, please.
Well, I guess there's no harm in that. As long as you don't try any funny ones, such as breaking away, that wouldn't be so good.
Oh, I won't, honest.
All right, Walter, in that case, we can go and see your friend Paul.
With Walter sandwiched between them in the front seat of their car, Hurst and Cawthorne drive slowly in the direction given by him.
Well, take it easy now. Turn somewhere here. Yeah, this is the corner. Turn left here. He lives in a white house down the next block.
Okay. And this had better be the straight good, Walter. If it's not, we're through playing with you.
It's straight, all right. I don't know whether he'll be home or not, but where he lives.
How much further?
Oh, just up the next block. I'll tell you. Hey.
What's the matter?
That's Paul walking along there.
Are you sure this isn't a gag?
No, honest, that's him.
Pull up beside him, Ted.
Okay.
Hey, you. Wait a minute.
Huh?
Your name, Paul?
Paul Friend.
That's fine. We want to talk to you.
But I...
Never mind that. You just come along with us. In the car here.
Who are you?
Police officers. Come on, in the back there. You get him back to Walter and keep him company.
Okay. I don't see what this is all about.
Save it, Paul. We're going down to Georgia Street Police Station.
But
come on, Ted. Let's go.
Okay.
Well, was it hot enough today for you, Ted?
Huh?
Papers say it hit a new high at noon. I sure hope it keeps up till Sunday. That's my day off, and I'm going to take a swim at the beach.
Say, what are you... Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, it was plenty hot. Say, how about me going to the beach with you Sunday?
Sure, why not? We can get a swell day and a little swimming, a little sunburn, some good old hot dogs. Sounds fine.
Thus, talking of incidental things that have no bearing on the case, the two detectives take a leisurely drive to the police station, going out of their way to make the trip seem longer, completely ignoring their captives who sit huddled in the back seat, silently watching the scenery go by.
I told you all along you were crazy to buy that car. You really got stung. Probably done better in a junkyard.
Hey, listen, I don't have to keep dumping oil in it the way you're doing that hack of yours. Another thing, I get better mileage.
Hey, I'll take you up on that. Why, I can get as high as 20 miles a gallon in traffic with crack, and out of the country, it's a cinch for 25. Uh-oh, here we are, home. Here's where you get out, Frank. You too, Walter. Follow me. All right, in here. Collins.
Yes, sir.
Take care of this fellow, will you?
Yes, sir.
You're staying here, Walter, and you're coming with us, friend. All right. Sit down over there.
Yes, sir.
Well, friend, you know what we want.
No,
you killed a woman tonight, friend.
No, I didn't.
Sure you did, and you know it. That woman you ran down in Walter's truck, she died almost instantly.
But I...
You murdered her, Franz, just as surely as you could have with a gun.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, wait a minute.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah.
Well, Franz, you made a double. The man you hit just died.
Well?
I didn't do it.
You borrowed Walter's truck tonight, didn't you?
No.
You had it at 10 o'clock, didn't you?
I don't remember. No, I didn't have it.
Walter says you did.
No, I didn't. I didn't have it.
You know, friends, we have a set of your prints from that time you were brought in for receiving stolen goods. You remember?
They let me go. I showed them I was innocent.
That's right, Paul. And this case hasn't anything to do with that one either. But nevertheless, we have your prints on file, and we've got an expert checking them against prints found on the murder truck. He'll be bringing in his report any minute.
I didn't do it. I didn't.
Ah, don't kid me. You're just putting yourself in the middle.
I didn't do it.
Then I guess I'll have to wait for the report. You sure you don't want to talk?
I haven't anything to talk about.
Nothing to talk about, eh, Paul?
No.
Come in.
What you wanted, Lieutenant.
Oh, fine. Thanks a lot.
Yes, sir.
Let me see. Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, Paul, what are you going to say now?
I don't know.
You know what the answer is on these prints, don't you?
No.
The ones found on the truck and the ones on file here are identical. Not so good, eh, Paul?
I didn't mean to. It was an accident.
How did it happen?
I was driving along. I didn't see him. Then when I hit him, I stopped and come back and waited.
How long, Paul?
Until the ambulance got there. That was all I could do.
You were there until the ambulance got there?
Yeah. I didn't see him. The woman must have been wearing dark clothes.
Did you know you hit two people?
Well, I knew I'd hit the man, but I thought I'd missed the woman.
You didn't see the woman, yet you thought you'd missed her? Well, Paul?
I couldn't see him.
And you didn't wait until the ambulance came because there are five witnesses who saw you leave.
No. I waited. I saw him go. I didn't mean to hurt him.
I'm sorry, Paul, but the game's up. You hit those people, and you deliberately left them there on the street. We can't call it murder, Paul, although that's what it amounts to. But we can call it manslaughter and hit and run. For that, you're going to go where people who commit crimes belong, to the penitentiary.
After a short trial, on the morning of November 29th, 1935, hit-run killer Paul Franz, tense, white-faced, stands before Judge Baird, listens to the words that will ring in his ears forever.
Paul Franz, you have been found guilty by this court of two counts of manslaughter. You
You've also been found guilty of hit and run, a brutal, cold-hearted crime. Therefore, Paul Franz, I sentence you to serve a term of from 1 to 10 years on each of the manslaughter counts and from 1 to 5 on the hit-and-run charge, all to be served concurrently in Folsom Penitentiary.
So, in this case, justice was done, and Paul Franz discovered the irrevocable fact that you cannot ignore the laws of society and not pay for it in the end. And remember, it isn't the original accident that creates a crime many times. It's the actions of an individual afterwards. The law reads, in case of an accident, stop and render assistance if humanly possible. Story of a hit-and-run killer, you have lived with us the tragedy of reckless driving. Rio Grande deplores this modern condition and dramatizes it in the hope that automobile drivers may be induced to exercise care and consideration in their driving always. The story also emphasizes another side, the diligence of our ambulance and police services. In this efficiency, Rio Grande proudly claims a part. Throughout this territory, more emergency equipment is powered with Rio Grande cracked gasoline than any other brand. In Oakland, Berkeley, Marysville, Fresno, Santa Barbara, Los Angeles, Pasadena, Monterey Park, San Diego, Phoenix, Orange County, Maricopa County, Arizona, and Coconino County, Arizona, police cars, fire engines, ambulances, and other emergency equipment have been powered with Rio Grande cracked gasoline month after month to answer calls of distress. Many of them are lubricated, too, with Sinclair motor oil, the fitting companion to Rio Grande cracked gasoline in providing police car performance. When you go to your nearest independent Rio Grande dealer to secure these products for your car, ask him for a free copy of Calling All Cars News. Learn how you can earn 1,000 gallons of Rio Grande cracked gasoline by helping police catch criminals. Get your free copy tomorrow.
Los Angeles Police calling all cars, attention all cars, cancellation broadcast 173 regarding a hit-and-run accident. Suspects in this case is now in custody. That's all. Rosenquist.
Frederick Lindsley saying good night for Rio Grande.